Please be seated. A very happy new year to all of you this morning. It's so wonderful to be able to start a new year in the Lord's house with God's people and yet to praise him and to worship him together. This morning we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 down to verses 11. I'm going to read it to you from the NIV. Just follow in whatever version you have. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May that word bless our hearts this morning as we come to the Lord and ask him to help us understand it. Let's come and just ask him for some help as we pray. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, may we this morning, may we exalt you and praise your glorious name. Because, Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise and honor and glory. We look back over this old year and we want to thank you this morning for your abundant grace and your mercy and your goodness that has been shown to us. And as we look forward to a new year, we come to your word. Will you make it come alive to us today and in the year that's ahead? We pray this and we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, the year 2022 is behind us. And with this new year ahead of us, we are prompted at this time to make our New Year's resolutions. But as time moves on, we discover that we move along with it. We are constantly changing. There's change, but change is sometimes it's good and necessary. Although we change and circumstances change, we find that there's only one who is consistent, who never changes, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bearing this in mind, we want to look at Peter this morning to try and learn what we can learn from him. This letter was written to the early church, and it was written to a people who had been scattered throughout the civilized world. And it was a letter to the people who were confronted with all kinds of difficulties and an unknown future. And so what Peter had in mind when he wrote this letter was to comfort and to encourage these struggling saints. Their difficulties were from within and sometimes from without. Their world was very much like our world. It was a world that was filled with uncertainty. These people, as you see as from verse 1, had believed in the gospel. They had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I think like many people today, they had not fully understood the gospel. In verse 1, they had received a faith as precious as ours, says the writer. But probably they thought that when they became Christians, that suddenly everything in their lives would now go smoothly and it would all be right. And maybe they were familiar with that verse in 1 Corinthians that says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Of course, that is true in a certain sense. When we were outside of Christ, we were dead in our sins. But when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he quickened our spirits. He made us come spiritually alive. And ultimately, obviously, we will be with the Lord in his kingdom forever. But right now, each and every one of us discover that we are still living in a fallen world. Now, this second letter of Peter, I think, is particularly concerned with those problems. Unbelief is one of the problems that has confronted people over the down through the centuries and ages. And so Peter is writing to these early Christians to show them the antidote to false teaching and unbelief. What is needed, it is to have a great knowledge of the truth of the gospel. This would equip them to be able to face all of the difficulties that are arrayed against them from day to day. So in chapter 2 and verse 3, this is what he tells us. He says, Jesus, the divine power, has given to us everything that we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. It is he who calls us to himself through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you and I may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this world. And so how do we come to participate in this divine nature? And we, most of us, would know that it starts with the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and draws us. He takes God's word and he points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe at this point we should then take a closer look at what the gospel really is all about. The gospel is the good news. It's first presented in terms of judgment. God deals with us on the basis of the law and his justice. The matter of a sinner's acceptance before God can never be resolved by human reasoning. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us three things: that we were without strength when we were sinners. When we were sinners, we were enemies of God. We were totally unable to help ourselves in any way. We were condemned by our own actions and by our rebellion against God. And we inherited our sin from Adam in the first place. So how is it possible for God, who will in no way and by no means clear the guilty, how is it possible for him to justify or to declare a sinner as being right? God's law demands perfect obedience. And there is only one person who has ever completely obeyed God's law and his commandments, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He became our perfect substitute. He bore the penalty that was our penalty for sins. He bore that in his own body. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, the one who stands between God and men, that God's grace and truth can flow to each and every one of us who are sinners who have believed in Jesus and have come to him and have asked him for mercy. What do we mean by the word justify? It is the action taken by God himself, declaring the believing sinner in Jesus to be just and right in his sight. And so the sinner receives God's undeserved favor. It's a change from guilt to condemnation to acquittal and acceptance by God. And all of this is by God's grace and God's unmerited favor. Justification is not only the forgiveness of sins, but it is also the receiving of Christ's righteousness and the restoration of the believing sinner to God's favor. For God has put the righteousness of Christ to our account. The Savior has taken upon himself the outworking of God's justice. Now through faith in Jesus' blood that was shed on Calvary, and it was shed there for us, the believer has all the blessings of Christ's character and work transferred to him or to her. It's all by grace, through faith. What an amazing faith it is, through which we will be saved from eternal damnation and hell. That is why we come and we urge people Sunday by Sunday to come to the one who has died in your place, paid the price for your sins, so that you can have peace with God. An attempt of any other way is to gamble with your eternal destination and your eternal soul. This Jesus, who was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead, is coming back again. The second time he is coming, but he will not be coming back as a suffering Messiah, as he did the first time, but he will come the second time to judge the world in righteousness. And this is why Peter is so anxious that these people would make sure that when Jesus comes again, they would find themselves in a right standing and in a right relationship with him. So in order to do this, in verse 5, he shows them how to live as a partaker of this divine nature. They are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place and confess their sins and come to him in repentance. They are to make every effort to add to their faith goodness and knowledge. In verse 6, it talks about adding to your faith self-control and perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And so it's very important that we are to add these virtues to our faith. But the question is this. The question is, how is this going to happen? Well, of course, it's through the help of the Holy Spirit. It's through studying God's word daily that the Lord will be able to start to change the way that we think and to give us the ability to be able to carry out his will. So he goes on in verse 8 where he explains that if we possess these qualities in increasing measure, what will they do? They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was so important because in chapter 3 and verse 4 we read that there were false teachers. And these false teachers were asking the question, they said, where is the promise of his coming? Everything goes on as it has done in the past. Years have passed and nothing has changed. Why on earth are you as Christians getting so excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and make such a fuss about it? You see, unbelief always takes advantage of our difficult circumstances. It's at times like these when the enemy comes and he attacks our minds and the things that we do. The most important thing for us is to be reminded of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in him we are seen by Christ as having never sinned. We are justified by him, just as if we had never sinned. So how can we add to our faith if everything is done by him and through him? It's by studying God's word, putting into practice what he teaches us through his word day by day. If we don't add these things to our faith, verse 9 says that if we do not possess these qualities, we have become short-sighted and blind. Even if we know these truths, it is a great mistake, I think, to think that just because we know something, that we should not be reminded of it. And that's why I believe that at the beginning of the year, we need to be reminded that we should be studying the Bible day by day, gleaning from God's word, seeing what he has to say to us as he teaches us in the way that we should continue to walk in this world. Our world is a sinful place, and men who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ are fallen creatures. The Bible describes people who are not Christians, who have not been saved by the grace of God, as spiritually dead. They might be walking around, but spiritually they are not alive. The Bible describes those who have not been saved as dead in their trespasses and sins. And this means that being spiritually dead, they cannot understand spiritual truth and spiritual things. And that is why it's all the more important that we are eager to make our calling and election sure. So that we come to this new year, as we come to this new year, let us make sure that we do everything in our power with God's help to know the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his fullness and to be able to add these virtues to our lives. And what God has worked in you, we have got to learn then how to work it out in our everyday walk in life. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said this. He said, if the trumpet has an uncertain sound, who will prepare for the battle? In other words, if the people have become spiritually dull, if there is no difference between the Christian and the person who's in the world who's still lost, if there's no difference between them, if the church is uncertain in what it believes, how can the world look at us and be convicted of sin and righteousness if we are no different to what they are. History proves that revival comes when the people of God live like the people of God. So Peter says we need to make sure that our calling and election is sure. Well, how do we do that? I think the gospel can be divided into two parts. The first is we must be certain of what you believe. In other words, make certain that the foundation on which you are building is a true foundation, as we are to build on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way to God. And the second thing is in verses 1 and 2, it tells us that we are to add to our faith. We are to grow in it. That is the Christian life. Make certain of your foundation, first of all, and then we are to add to it. And how do we do that? We are to do it through studying the Word of God. And so my question to you this morning is, on what foundation are you building on in the year 2023? I think marriage is a good illustration. When two people get married, they normally believe 100% in each other. They trust each other completely. But what is the test of their trust and their belief in each other? It's the trials of life that come along the journey. And after many years, if they are still together and they still trust each other and they still believe in one another, we can know that the foundation that they started out on has proved to be true and trustworthy. Being totally committed to each other at the beginning is not enough. A couple has to work at their marriage to make it work. They had to add to it along the journey of life, and the Christian life is no different. You have to be fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There is no other sure foundation. The Bible says we have to have the mind of Christ, and the only way that you will have the mind of Christ and to think the way he thinks and is to spend much time in his presence, learning from him through his word, building on your knowledge of him, building on your commitment to him. The more time you spend with him, the more you will become like him. And that is how you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. How can we apply this to our lives? Well, like the Apostle Paul, we need to know in whom we've believed. We need to be fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed to him against that day. What day? That day when he's going to return for his church, for his bride. Are we going to be ready to meet him? Well, I know it's a short sermon this morning because we also have to come to the Lord's table in a few moments. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us to live lives that are going to glorify him in the year 2023. Should we pray? Lord, we want to thank you this morning, particularly for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We just celebrated that at Christmas. Lord, so that you would come into this world and live the way we have to live. And you came into this world to experience all that we had to experience as we walked this pilgrimage. Lord, you came to die on our behalf, as a ransom, as a payment for our sins, so that we might be accepted by God. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light through your Holy Spirit, inner working in our hearts, taking us from death to life and giving us wonderful assurance that because you live, we can face tomorrow. So we face the new year, Lord, with confidence, knowing that God, who has started a good work in us, will carry it on to completion. And so now we pray, Lord, that your blessing may be ours in abundance in this new year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.